4 weeks ago, I was going through our garage and I was cleaning out some old boxes. And I would love to say that in our garage it's always clean and neat, but that would be just really a bald-faced lie. I really can't even spin it to make it even sound good. So every now and then I go through all these boxes. And on this particular day, it was all of our children's old schoolwork. And I don't know if it definitely wasn't high school. I think it might have even been late elementary or early middle school. I wasn't quite sure exactly when. I just know it was early on in their school age time. And they were what I found in both, it was a notebook from Caroline, it was a notebook from Connor. It was current events. I don't know if you remember doing current events. In my day, a current event is where you cut something out of the newspaper, maybe four or five different articles, and you would read the article, and you had to do the hows, the whens, the wheres, and the whys, and the whos, and give a brief description. And the assignment was to be able to read something for comprehension and for content and for understanding. And so they were doing something similar to that. And so there was a bit of nostalgia for me when I was going through their work, because I remember doing that, I think maybe in fifth or sixth grade in my life. And of course, they were doing the same thing for them. It wasn't real articles. It was, well, they were real articles, just things that they printed out. It wasn't holding the newspaper the way I did it, but it was current events nonetheless. And so thinking about current events, I want us to do a current event with the scripture lesson. You ready? So let's begin with the parts that are, or at least the part that's easy, the where. Well, we know from what the text tells us that it's in a town called Nain. And Nain is about 9 miles south, maybe a little southwest of Nazareth. That's probably the closest large town in that area. Nain was at the foothills or at the very bottom of Mount Moriah. Nain actually means green pastures. And so if you can envision coming down off the mountain and looking out over the valley and a little village being at the base of the mountain, that's Nain. It's only mentioned here in the New Testament. So with the exception of this story, we wouldn't know anything about Nain. But that's the where. Where did this event take place? It took place in the small village of Nain. The when. When did it happen? Now, what would be great is if Luke would date it for us, as if to say September the 4th or 5th in 2022. He doesn't do that for us. So what we have here is we know about where it would be, so we could ballpark it. We know that it's after Jesus chose the 12, and after he's preached a few times, and there's been some healings and some other things that Jesus has performed, and so he's got some level of fame, but we know it's not the height of his fame. But we also know that it's after he called the 12, after a few preaching engagements, but not quite to when John the Baptist was martyred. So somewhere in between the two. Now, if I had to guess, this is probably inning 3, maybe inning 4 of his ministry. So we know the where, we know the when. How about the who? And the main focus in the text, it's obviously the woman, the mother, which is surprising considering the societal context from the days of Jesus. And that day, females were identified by their relationship to a male. It might be their father. It might be their husband. It might be their sons. But we know with this particular woman, none. We know that her husband has died. We get that from Luke. She's a widow. We now know that her son, her only son, has also died. But everybody in the passage, with the exception of Jesus, is identified in their connection to the woman. That's incredibly interesting to me. She is the one, she is the focus of the attention of the passage. Luke goes to great lengths to illustrate this. She is a widow, the crowd was with her, Jesus saw her, Jesus had compassion on her, spoke to her, gave her son back to her. She is the focus for good reason. She is the epitome now of the down and out, the poor. And yet she is the one who has received the good news. Now, if we were to turn back three chapters to Luke chapter 4, we would find the dawn of Jesus' ministry where he walked into the synagogue in Capernaum. Some of you have visited there. You walked actually on that floor, or at least part of it. And at that day, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus opened up the scroll of Isaiah, and he read from it, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because I've been anointed to do what? To proclaim the good news to whom? The poor. The down and out. To the prisoner, give freedom. To the blind, sight. To those that are oppressed, freedom. This is the time of the Lord's favor." And so we know in this particular passage, the one that John read for us, this woman, she is in a very desperate state. And yet Jesus had compassion upon her. Her husband has died. Now her son is dead. She is the most vulnerable of any in his society. And she has all the attention. So now we know the where, we know the when, we know the who, we know the what. Jesus, he revived the son, gave the son back to her, which leads us now to the next, and this is the most important question, the why. Jesus had compassion on her. If you actually break down the text and you look for the actual midpoint of the verses, it is that verse. He had compassion on her. It's not sympathy. It's not pity. It's something that's more profound than sympathy or pity. It's a deep concern for the suffering of another person. That's literally what compassion means, to suffer with or suffer together. And that word compassion, 60 times in the Bible, is used is given to God, an attribute of God to describe God's nature. Sometimes it's translated in forgiveness. Sometimes it's translated in God's hesed, God's care, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. And the word picture is, if you could imagine, God literally reaching in and pulling out his heart and giving it to another person, then you would get the image of what compassion is. He had compassion upon her. In the Gospels, compassion is also linked with Jesus, and every time that it's linked as a characteristic of Jesus, his nature, his ministry, it is always, 100%, always followed by an action. Here in this text, there's actually three. Jesus, after having compassion upon the woman, he looked to the woman, he spoke to her, he said, "Do not weep," and then he touched the coffin. Actually, it was a wood plank, which is really also interesting because that would put him in a state of being unclean. And then he spoke to the corpse and then gave the son back to the mother. Compassion is more than a feeling. It might originate on the inside, but it has to be accompanied with something on the outside, an action. It's really a state of being. Now, obviously, we can model it. We can try to teach it, which is what we try to do to other people. But at some point, it has to be first person. It has to be experienced by another so that then it becomes something on the inside and something on the outside. Walter Hilton, 15th century monk, British monk, wrote what I would consider one of the top 10 best spiritual classics, The Scale of Perfection. And he says this about compassion. He says, "It's easy to fast until your head hurts, to go on a pilgrimage, to preach, to convert, to build a church or a hospital, even to feed the poor. But it is extremely difficult to love another person and disagree or hate what they do. The good works in society are either Christian or non-Christian at the same time. But to genuinely love a person requires deep compassion." And then listen to this. "We must act upon what is on the inside." It's both something that takes place inside of a person and outside of a person. And you see it here in the passage. It's not just a feeling that Jesus had towards this woman. who is down and out. It is to suffer, to share with, and then to act to bring about a change. That's what it means to be compassionate. Well, I know it's not part of the assignment. We're just sticking to the who's and the when's and the where's and the why's. But it begs another question. How then do we become like the one who is compassionate in the passage? Jesus, his nature is one of compassion, and it's always accompanied with an action. So what takes place inside of us so that we can go and not just do likewise, be likewise? Has everything to do with what the New Testament talks about, the experience of God, where we experience the nature of Christ. And in the book of Romans, it talks about being grafted in to where Jesus' DNA becomes part of our DNA. In the Corinthian letters, it talks about being a new person, a new creation, a new entity. So where it's not just that it's us and Christ to form something new, so that then his nature becomes part of our nature, and then out of that nature, then we act. That's what it means to be compassionate. It's no thresholds, which means that it can be a little or it can be a lot. It's just something that takes place on the inside of us through a work of God, and then we act upon that work, and then it flows out of us to help those in need. William Tinsdale, a contemporary of Walter Hilton, said this about compassion. When you feel another's sickness, when you mourn with those who grieve, suffer with someone in trouble, forgive another when offended, patient with someone who repeatedly sins, will you see and work towards the best in the life of another person, that's when you have compassion. I think what the world, our society needs, not just in the society of Jesus, needs are compassionate people. People who you see either the brokenness in the life of another person, or you see the depravity that sits in the society at large, and there's something inside of you that is moved, that's stirred inside of you, so that then you are compelled to act, to bring about a change. The focus of the passage is on the woman. He had compassion on her. So much so that he acted to bring about healing, to bring about hope, to bring about change. Our world needs compassionate people who are stirred to the point of something on the inside of them that they can't help but to act to bring about his kingdom. So there's your current event. Where? Nain. When? Early on in his ministry. Who? The woman. What? Jesus revived the son. Why? Because he had compassion upon her. Our task is not only to go and do likewise, but to be likewise.